Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Well, good morning. Good morning, good morning. How are you guys doing? How many of you guys are enjoying that winter wonderland out there, that cold weather, huh? Hey, it's nice. It's a little something, right? A little break off the heat. It's real good. Good, good, good. Boy, I tell you what, worship was so good this morning, wasn't it? There's just something powerful about worshiping God. There's something about connecting with Him that in worship where you just experience Him in a way. It's just incredible. Let's pray this morning. Father, we love You so much. Lord, You are just amazing. God, it's just, we lack the words to really adequately honor You and to really tell You how impressive You are. But You are so impressive. And we love You so much. Lord, I pray this morning as we learn more about You, God, that You would speak to our hearts, that You'd reveal things within us that we've never seen before. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We're in a series where we're looking at this person. He's not an it. He's not a thing. He's a the, right? We call Him the Spirit, but He's actually a person. He's a He. He's someone we know. He was the one that all the way back in the very beginning was hovering over what was chaos, what was darkness, what was void, what had no life in it. He was found there waiting. He's always before everything. He's never late to the party. He's always ahead of things. And He's there right in the moment that the Father says, let there be light, and He creates this light, this glorious light, apart from a sun or a moon or any other source. I really believe it's just the glory of God. He just creates it. And we see in this moment that light is something different than darkness. He separates these things. Darkness where there is no life, there is no creation, and all of a sudden the light of life is where you see creation. So John gets a picture of this. We've looked at it over the past few weeks. John gets a little picture of this moment. When he saw, I really believe in that transfiguration moment is where he really, really saw into the gospel. He really saw into grace. And what he saw was that within God is just a fullness of this love and compassion, grace, this heart to bless. It's all you see inside of Him. You know, I imagine this moment, John probably asked himself, I don't see the things that I thought I would see about God. Instead, what he saw about God was that He was full of grace. He was full of this longing and desire to bless us. It's mind-blowing. It will forever be mind-blowing. And this is what John peered into. It's what he saw. It's the moment that the cartoons realized they're cartoons, you know. I picture he saw the cartoonist. He saw the pencil. He saw into all of this and realized this is reality. This is truth. This is incredible. He is the Spirit of grace. The most intimate part of Himself, the deepest part of God. The Bible says that the Spirit of God is what searches His own depths. He knows the inner thoughts, and this is the part of Himself that He chose to give to you and me. He wanted you to know the heart of God. He wanted you to know and be able to relate to Him and have fellowship with Him, and it's incredible. He is the Spirit of grace. He is three in one, and we are His plus one, as we looked at last week. Now, in the giving of the mission, Jesus says, you're going to need another helper. Now, I think this is an interesting thing, you know. God's intent is always to help. He's always here to help us, right? We don't often see Him that way. It's certainly not how God is often portrayed out in the world, is it? But that is His heart towards you. It is to help. And Jesus says, I'm going to send you another helper. There's somebody who's really, really going to be the best fit for the mission. And this is God who He's given Himself to us for this mission. So sometimes, you know, this is the way I like to think of it. Sometimes you need mom, you know what I mean? Sometimes mom is the only one that's going to do, right, moms? You guys get me on that? Why is there laughter? So we want moms, right? Sometimes you need dad, you know, sometimes you need dad. Sometimes, I'll tell you this right now, every time you need grandma, like every single time. Like grandmas and granddads are the best ever. And in the same way, God thought about your life. He thought about what you needed. And He said, I'm going to give you the Spirit of God because God has given us His Spirit so that we can create. And that's what I want to look at today. I want to look at God the Creator today. Now, you may not believe this about yourself, but did you know that you are creative? All right, look at your neighbor and say, you are creative. Now, some of y'all did that, and I saw it on your faces. You didn't believe it one bit. You're like, you're creative, but, right? You are creative. Well, we often only think of creativity in the form of the arts. We only think of it in the form of things we draw or write or sing or all those kinds of things, and we forget every single person in here is creative. You may not feel that way, but you are. And the reason why you are creative is because he is creative. He made you like him. You have the ability to create, and we're going to look at what that looks like today. But he gave us this thing called imagination. Listen, if there's ever something, I really enjoy debates. I don't know if you enjoy debates. I try to keep it civil and just, I love to argue. I love to dive into things. Okay, I do. Ask my wife. And so, but I love the argument that all of this that we see came from nothing, that it just sort of exploded on accident, that everything that's floating around was all unguided process. It just happened. Look, I'll give you one reason why that's nonsense, and it's the imagination. Right? Why would you have an imagination? Okay, we can say chemicals combined and made it, but that's just ludicrous. Listen, the idea here is God gave you something to fathom him. That he gave you an imagination so that you could be creative. It's hard to be creative without an imagination. I tell you how many times I tell my kids this. They run into a problem, and what I tell them is use your imagination. Like, let's engage that part of us that he's given us to be creative. He's made you that way. Because he knows that through improvisation, that's a hard word to say, and imagination, he knows that we can create things in this world unlike anything we've ever seen. Now, I'm not just talking about creating physical things today. I'm talking about creating things through the Spirit. See, he gave us his Spirit within us, and in the same way that the Spirit brought order to chaos, he does the same thing in your life. In the same way, God comes up with creative ways to create within you as you are creating. It's really, really amazing. Let me give you an example. Because of the Spirit living within you, you can be creative in the realm of peace. You can be a creative peacemaker. Boy, I tell you what, the world we're living in right now, we need as many creative peacemakers as possible. People that won't necessarily just engage for the purpose of arguing as I would love to, but instead would create peace in the middle of situations that look like there is absolutely no way we can have peace here. God gave you that ability to bring that into a situation, to go love people the way he loves. And the list could go on and on. He gave us the ability to create uniquely because we have the Spirit of God living within us. We have Omni living within us, the God of the universe, the same Spirit, the Bible says, that raised Jesus from the dead, lives within you and gives life to your mortal bodies. I mean, we take this for granted every single day. There's no way we truly fathom this great mystery that the Spirit of God lives within us. So this morning, I want to look at three ways, and I'm sure there's more, but these are the three big ones that I believe the Spirit of God created within you. He did something the moment you believed that changed everything. It changes the way that you see reality. It changes the way reality even works. Like, you have something totally different because of what he created within you. And so let's take a look at the first one. Number one, he created in you a new heart. He created within you a new heart. We lacked the ability to fathom his love. Boy, let me tell you something. You can be in this room this morning and seeing every single word on that screen and it mean nothing to you. Ask me how I know that. Because I once was in that place. I remember being at Disney down there at Epcot. They do a candlelight celebration. If you've never seen it, you really should. It's a wonderful retelling of the gospel story, really, of the Christmas story. And I remember being on that stage singing in front of thousands of people these words that were ultimately profound. They were, "O Holy Night," okay? And I'm singing these words, and I sung it for years and years and years, and it didn't mean anything. All of a sudden, one day, though, I met Jesus. I found out who we were singing about. And I stood up on that stage once more, and this time when I went to open my mouth to even sing, I couldn't get words out of my mouth because the tears were just streaming down my face. Everybody around me is looking at me like, this guy's lost his mind, you know? He's lost it. But what it was is I had lost it. I was seeing things with a new heart. I had something beating inside of me for the first time saying, oh my gosh, we're not just singing words. We're singing about God. We're singing about the one that rescued me and loved me and saved me and all of those things. And if you're in this room and you've believed, you've been given a heart that can fathom those mysteries. You can receive that kind of love. You can give that kind of love back. You can experience God fully. Look at what Jesus said. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." See, it's not just enough to be born with a heart that you were born with, okay? It's not just enough to be born of the water, to live here. But let me tell you something. You should thank God, no matter what your experience is like, no matter what this world has been to you, you should thank God that you were born. You weren't some accident. You weren't some, I don't know what we're going to do here. No, this was a God that thought of you before everything. You were a thought of his. He dreamed about you. He designed you, the Bible says. He even knit your soul together. He knit together the innermost being that makes you up. That's how much you mean to him. You're valuable to him. You're not a mistake. You are instead willed of God to enter into the kingdom of God. That was his desire of you, that you would be both born here, but so that you could be reborn and experience his life. Look at Ezekiel 36, 26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. You remember when you first got saved? Do you remember that first moment you believed? The first moment you felt a heartbeat for the very first time. Not your physical heart, right? But a spiritual awakening where suddenly you realized you were alive. And that's because of what Jesus has done. Look at what Jeremiah says. It gets even better than this. I will give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart. Listen, religion makes this a big issue of in a wrong way, okay? Religion will take a phrase like this: love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I remember I used to think, well, what does that mean? I think it means to kind of love God with everything, you know? And so we strive and we try, and throughout the rest of your life, you may, if you're not careful, start building some kind of am I loving God with all of my heart? Am I doing a good job? Am I giving too much time to something else? And I don't know, religion complicates everything, right? But here's what I love about this verse. This verse says that God is going to place a heart within you that loves him with all of its heart. It's amazing. God never thought your fleshly heart, your will, your soul, your emotions, all those things would ever fully engage him. So he placed within you a heart that will always fully engage him. It's why you love God. It's why in the moment, after maybe making a horrible mistake, maybe you just totally blow it with the kids, or you totally blow it with a friend or something, and in that moment, what do you feel, right? You still feel, God, I love you. I don't love this. I don't love this mistake. God, I love you. This heart that you've placed within me always beats for you. So take the pressure off. The idea is you do love the Lord your God with all your heart, because it's the heart he gave you that always loves him. He's a genius. He's thought of everything. All right, think about this. Think about the kind of people that you can go love now that you couldn't before, right? The world makes everything, it's going to take something for me to love you. It's conditional, right? We sung about it this morning. Now think about the people that you can love now. Think about the people in the world that the world would turn its back on, but you don't. You can't, because you love them the way God does. If we see things that way, right, it changes everything. You can go love people. You can go create love. On this earth, we experience heartbreak, anxiety, pain, and all these kinds of different things, but he gives us a heart that beats with his. Instead of a cold response to somebody, you can give them life. You can create life to somebody. Instead of somebody who maybe doesn't deserve forgiveness, you can come to them out of the heart of God and say, it's not about you deserving anything. Let me just forgive you. Let me just give you this. Let me create forgiveness. Let me create peace here in this situation. This new heart is powerful. You cannot love people enough. When I was somewhere in 19, my brother got saved. He met Jesus on acid in his room, in fact. So he had quite the experience where he was absolutely ravaged by this drug. And in this moment, God met him in that room and met him in a way that was powerful and totally changed his life right there in that second. Now, I noticed this about my brother. He totally was weird. Like, I mean, I had long hair at the time. Talk about some weird pictures. My, how we all change, you know? Well, back then, I had hair down to here, and I was a rock and roll guy and all that. Yeah, thanks. And I just looked really, really strange. And I remember my brother, he looked similar to me, and then all of a sudden he walked in one day and his hair was cut and he looked totally different. All the chains he wore around his arms were gone. I thought that was a really interesting thing. And he suddenly just looked totally different. Now, none of that has to do with being a Christian necessarily, but it was something that had happened within him. Right, all of a sudden, he started preferring me and loving me. And look, him and I, and like, we're brothers, you know. That's what you do is you ram each other like nonstop and put holes in every single wall in the house, right? And all of a sudden, he's not arguing with me anymore. And he's saying, okay, that's fine. You can be right. You know, there's one cookie left, and I'm ready to fight for it, you know. That's me. And he says, you can have it. That's all right. Go ahead. It messed me up. He totally loved me to the point that I'm like, okay, what happened to you? And it caused me to look into this great mystery. Only God could create this. Only God could do this thing, right? You can't love people enough, and love truly changes everything and everybody. And so God creates within you a heart that beats for people the way his does, to where you don't care to engage in arguments. You don't care to do anything that would divide you. Boy, in this current world we're living in, remember that. We're not needing to be divided up. No, instead, let's go love the way God does. Let's go share this love with the entire world, and we can because of what he has done. The Spirit also creates within us a new mind. So he creates within us a new heart so we can experience God, and he gives us a new mind. They say the mind is where this battle takes place. Now, I don't like to think of that as just your spongy brain in here, okay? But it's the mind. It's this idea of the inner thoughts of a man, okay? What you find spiritually. And so I think it's great that what God gives us is a brand new mind. He gives us a new spirit that can comprehend him and comprehend his thoughts. Ephesians 4, 22 through 25. In reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, that you would be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self. It's in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Boy, look at the implications of this. The mind that you were born with, okay, it constantly is looking at what it doesn't have. It's constantly analyzing what it thinks it needs, perceive lack, right? We operate out of that if we're not careful. You can think the old thoughts. And Paul's saying, no, that's all gone. Don't think that way at all anymore. He says, instead, you've got a mind that is the mind of Christ. It shows you all that you've been given in him. There's no lust in the spirit. No, it's fullness. You have the absolute fullness of God, and you can reflect on that at any time. You have that ability. It's huge implications. We are in the exact likeness of God in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, if he is gracious, what does it do for you? It causes you to think that way towards others as well, doesn't it? It causes you to want to be gracious. And check this out. It gets even better. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Because of this new mind, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Okay, let's talk about this for a second because this is powerful. Now, the way I understood this back in the day was you take your thought captive and then you go obey. Okay, so like, okay, I've taken you captive, and now I'm going to be obedient like Christ, is how I would read that, okay? Now, it's so much better than that. Listen, in some version of the church, you may have heard over and over and over again this phrase, oh, I'm just struggling with this sin. I'm struggling with a sin. And this is what keeps church popular, right? Is I got struggles, and I'm going to come in, and someone's going to help me with them, you know? But it's so much better than that. When you have that thought, first off, that you should struggle with your sin, let me tell you where that comes from. That comes from your flesh. Your flesh always thinks it can beat sin up. It always thinks it can do the job. And so it tells you that you should struggle with that. You should wrestle with it. But that's not the case at all. In fact, it's so much better than that. When you see something in your life like this, what we just read is that you can take that thought captive, okay? All of us have some real interesting thoughts. They're not always your thoughts, by the way, but they may be in you, and you may be thinking about them, right? But you can take those things captive, and look at what you do. You make it subject to who? The obedience of Christ. Very, very different. Because what you do in that moment is you remind yourself, the renewal of the mind is reflecting on what Jesus has done. So yeah, you may see a sin in your life, and all you have to do is take that captive and say, look at what Jesus did. Look at the obedience of Christ. Look how he was obedient all the way for this very thing, all the way to the cross. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. That's the point of everything, is that we would turn and look to Jesus. You would see something in you don't like, and you go, hey, that's great, though, because Jesus fulfilled it. He's given me all I need. It always comes back to him because you have a mind that is just so engaged in the truth and the reality of how things actually are, and they are all about Jesus. We looked at that last week. Everything was made for him and by him, through him. It's all about Jesus. So this new mindset tells us, no, this sin I'm not struggling with. It was defeated. This sin has been defeated in my life. And we lift up our hands and we praise the Lord. Romans 12:2 says that we're not being conformed. The idea of struggling is that there would be some kind of conforming. I'm trying to look holy. I'm trying to get over this thing. No, I'm not conforming. I've been transformed, Paul said. I'm made up of an entirely new substance. I'm not of the old at all. I'm something brand new, and we're going to get to what that brand new looks like in just a moment. But it is utterly brand new and totally different, totally created to be something very specific, and sin has no place in that place at all, in what he's given us. There is none there. So when we see this in our life, reflect upon his glory. What about grieving the Spirit? All right, let's talk about this for a second, because this is something that you hear in different places in the church. Now, let me tell you how I was taught this, okay? I was taught that what grieving the Spirit meant is not that God's going to leave you, okay? But there would be a break in the relationship. There would be the Spirit's going to leave for a bit because you've made him mad, okay? You subjected him to that movie, and he didn't like it, and he's gone, okay? And you're going to have to pray and ask God to forgive you, and then he'll restore it. That's what I was taught, okay? Maybe you didn't. Maybe you didn't go through that, but that's what I learned. And so I never wanted to grieve the Spirit. Let me tell you something. If I was sitting in a movie and something, I'm out of here, like, as a, you know, I just didn't want to grieve the Spirit. Let me tell you what this means, okay? All right, grieve the Spirit means severe sorrow, all right? In a different reality, if God would give me another chance to do this life over again, I would ask to be 5'4", okay? Now you're saying why? Because I would love to be a parkour master. Like, that's my goal. I've said this before. If you don't know what parkour is, it's these crazy people that jump off of walls and over things. And look, it would be awesome. I imagine going to Publix, and I would just not drive. I would just run. I would just jump over everything. Like, you watch these people. It's seriously cool. Go online. Google parkour. That's what I would want to do. These teenagers that do this stuff blow my mind. So, all right. The other day, I saw a parkour fail video, okay? Because, I mean... I clicked on it, and I'm watching. Here's this dude. He jumps over a wall and just face first just crashes into a wall. And I'm, you know, you're going, oh, you know. And look, it was hard to watch, okay, because I've only seen the successful videos. And after I saw this, I was thankful that God made me a pastor and not a parkour master. But I'm watching this thinking, man alive, like, why do any of you do this? It's so cool, but you're just wrecking yourself. You know, I'm thinking these young people breaking arms. And like, anyway, the point is that I'm sitting here grieved, okay. I'm sitting there going, oh, don't do that. And that's what the Spirit's saying. The Spirit sees into the reality. The Spirit sees the best for you. He's presenting to you Jesus all the time. He's presenting to you the best in himself. And what that scripture's saying is, look, you've got a mind that can now perceive the things of God. Don't subject it to just the ignorance of the world. Don't subject it to just crashing into stuff. Like, you don't have to do that. You can actually walk this thing out with him. Don't grieve him, but you're sealed with him, okay? So you can't, he's not leaving you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. In fact, the Bible says he'll stick closer than a brother. All right, number three. He makes a new mind. He gives you a new heart. And this is one of my favorites. He makes you a new creation. Now listen, I am absolutely convinced that we have no idea what that means, okay? I know we've got some ideas. We've seen certain things so far, but I'm going to read something here in just a moment that should give you the idea that we should hold all of these understandings with humility in our hands, okay? We think we know what the new creation looks like, and look, for what we even can see of it, it is incredible, it's massive, it's just incredible what God has done. It's perfect, okay? But let me show you something this morning. He has made you something brand new. Now, some people like to say we're made up of stardust, you know? That sounds really cool. You know, you're made up of the recycled elements of the world and all that. Okay, that sounds awesome. But do you know what I'm actually made up of? Spirit life. Okay, I'm going to take that over stardust any day, okay? I am created into something brand new that is also coming into something brand new. Check this out. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, new things have come. man, you may not feel like a new creature at all. You may not feel some of those things the moment you believed, but you have no idea what happened on the inside of you. You were transformed into something that really is beyond our comprehension. But let's focus on this first part of it. He says that he has given us the Spirit from the Father as a down payment towards something, okay? Well, we're going to take a look at what this guarantee is in Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. All right, I don't know if you've ever bought a house or you've ever purchased something where you had to put down like a down payment or some kind of escrow, okay? I used to be in real estate, and I used to tell people, hey, this money that you're putting in here, if you back out of the deal, it stays, okay? So this is your part to kind of keep you engaged, you know? That's what a down payment sort of is. It's a promise. It's saying, I'm going to do this. Here's some money to back up my word, okay? So you have to ask the question. If God wanted to give you and I a promise, if God wanted us to feel absolutely that we are a part of him, that we've been joined to him, why not give us like 100 angels? You know, like, okay, here's 100 angels as a promise that I'm not going to leave or forsake you or any of those things. Would that satisfy you? It wouldn't satisfy me, I'll be honest. I mean, angels are cool and all that, but what's the conversion ratio for value of an angel to a human? Like, I don't know, is 100 enough? You know, there's 7-something billion people. Like, what's the conversion rate? No, God doesn't give us some kind of percentage. God's escrow is different. He didn't place in there something of some kind of value. No, what he gave you and I as a guarantee is much greater than all of that, and it comes at a 100%. He gave us 100% of something, and let's take a look at what happened. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. So check out this incredible down payment. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven. Now, just for a moment, please, don't think about your mansion in heaven, okay? I know that's what we've always been taught, is we're all going to have mansions. Mine's going to have beanbags everywhere, because I love beanbags. Like, why have a chair when you can have a beanbag? Anyway, so, you know, whatever your thoughts are on heaven, put all that aside for just a moment, okay? Look into the deeper reality of what he's sharing here. He's saying, look, this earthly tent, your body here, if this is gone, we've got a building that God has made. We have a body that he has designed for us, eternal, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, right now, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we don't wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. This should already sound a little confusing. We're being clothed in a dwelling place, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who's given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. This new creation is so much bigger than what we ever think about. He gives us a down payment. And look, you can know how valuable the thing is by how much someone's willing to put down up front for it. Jesus, God, the Spirit, all together give us himself. He gives us 100%. He gives us the most intimate part of himself as a down payment, saying, I am never going to leave you or forsake you. He creates within you a security unlike anything you've ever known. You can absolutely sing the words we sung this morning about having a hope, an anchor for our soul. You can have all of those things because of what he's given you as a down payment. He's never going to go back on his deal, because he's working towards something really, really cool. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together, now check this, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. This is incredible. All right. So God fashions you as a temple that he can dwell in, but there's something else that you're going to be a part of, and that's called the body of Christ. So here are these living stones, if you will, these people that are being connected to God because we are being fashioned into something that I am convinced even John the Apostle had a hard time trying to describe. Now, I want to say something this morning for you to think about, and don't send me tons of nasty emails about how I'm wrecking the Bible on you, okay? But this comes from Revelation. Now, look, Revelation is something I'm never going to argue with you about, okay? So don't come arguing with me about it. But Revelation, the interesting thing in this is that it shows this picture of the New Jerusalem. It gives you this picture of what was coming from God. Now, get some of these parallels. Now, this could be a very physical place that we someday inhabit, or it could be something even bigger. Right, John was seeing into the infinite. God was allowing him to see something that I am sure he had no words to tell us really back on earth. Like, how do I describe anything that I just saw? You know, it had to be very hard for him to describe. But one of the interesting things is when he talks about this new Jerusalem is he makes a lot of parallels to that of the new creation. He says things like that the sun is in the middle, the glory of God is what causes the light, the source of light. It's from the Lamb, right? And there is no sun, there is no moon. We're filled with light in the very same way, right? We know that within us there is no darkness because the Spirit of God lives within us and what he's doing. So this is an incredible thing. And so he says this building is adorned with jewels, is adorned with all of these incredible, beautiful stones. And he says that it's like a bride. Now listen, I don't know if this is actually the real Jerusalem that we're all going to live in or if this is some picture of the new creation. I don't know. Maybe it could be both. But the idea I want to give you this morning is this. What we often think of as being joined together, he describes as Jesus first being a cornerstone. Then he says that the apostles were laid also as a foundation. Then he says on top of that, he says we're still building this thing. There are still more stones coming together in this thing called the body of Christ that is going to be beautiful like a bride where he is the head of it. And we're all being fitted together and joined together where we are going to celebrate and experience the glory of God everywhere inside of us. This is going to be such an incredible thing. And it all begins with you being created into a living stone, you being created into something alive that can be joined to God. And that all happened because the Spirit is so creative. And he makes within you the ability to create as well. The down payment is because the foundation has been laid, but the building is still being built. Do we have a mission? You and I every single day should be thinking about the only reason why we are on this planet is to continually look for more pieces to this temple, to more that would come in, that more would experience God's grace and love and be joined to him so they could experience this wonderful thing we do. When God speaks, he creates, because his words have power within them. And Peter says it this way. He says, look, he's given you imperishable seed. He's given you seed that will never go bad. He's given you seed that, as the Bible says, that his word never returns void. You can sow his seed, and there's a very special way that you can do this. Every single one of us can be creative. And at the very beginning of this, I asked you maybe if you felt creative, and maybe some of us don't feel creative. Well, listen, you are creative, and maybe you're not creative with your hands. Maybe you don't know how to create. Let me give you a wonderful way. When the Spirit of God shows up on the planet for the very first time in the way that he was going to show up, they're all up in this thing called the upper room. And as they're sitting there and they're waiting on the Spirit who was promised to them, all of a sudden they see tongues like fire resting on every person. Now listen, I'm not going to make this about tongues, okay? And that's a gift of the Spirit. But in this moment, what I believe is he gave us life to speak and create everywhere we go. Okay, in the same way that God speaks and creates, he puts that power within you to therefore now go create as he does. I'm convinced we don't get this yet because we'd be creating every single day. We would really, really be looking for the opportunities to create peace, to create love, to create these things. And the moment that we really get a picture of this, that God's creativity is living within us, I believe we're going to see this spread like wildfire. Look at what James says. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Man, we want to give people the water that will make them alive forever. I want to give people the real thing, as we sung this morning. Look, my brother, I couldn't fight with him anymore. I found myself totally unable to argue with him because of what God had done in his life. Instead, what it caused me to do is he spoke and created with his words. And I'm sure that was hard for him. You know, I wasn't the greatest brother, okay? And so I'm sure to him, in some ways, I'm sure he might have felt like this is very hard to create. And if you're thinking this morning that all that I'm saying is things that we do in our effort or in our strength, you're mistaken. This is only something we do by his strength. So maybe you can think of a situation right now where peace would be great or some love would be great. Don't just walk in there and start speaking, right? Jesus said we do what we see the Father doing. That's what he did. And then now the Spirit of God lives within you. You can now be led by the Spirit and go speak truth and speak life into situations and watch life create in front of you. Watch it be created in front of you. It's absolutely amazing. The creator of the world, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us. Father, I love you, and I am so blown away at this mystery. Whew. Lord, would you convince us of all that you have within us? Lord, that we would feel creative. God, I pray tomorrow morning when everyone wakes up that they would feel the Spirit's creativity just stirring within them. In the same way the Spirit of God hovered over this chaos and darkness. Lord, I pray that we would speak to those dark places in this world and we would watch your light flood every single one of them. Lord, I pray for every situation in this room, every family member, every hard situation, all of the perceived needs and things that we're going through. Lord, I pray tomorrow that we wouldn't look at those things the same way ever again. But God, I pray that we would speak creation into them, that we would watch you create through us as we speak your power into the world.